they say to you, I overheard you speaking, now you're a Christian. How did that happen? You've got 60 seconds. What would you say? So turn to the person next to you, or in threes, and you've got, in 60 seconds, so you've only got 2 or 3 minutes for this, in 60 seconds, tell your testimony. What would you say to the person? Okay, go. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, another question to throw out. I hope that was helpful. We'll come back to a helpful structure for our testimony in a moment. I think it's good to practice your testimony in 60 seconds, in 3 minutes, in 10 minutes. What would you say in each of those different amounts of time? What would you include? What do you think are the main things you want to include in sharing your testimony? What are the key points? The key points you want to go to that will be kind of, I guess, the same for all of us. Jesus. He's got to be pretty central, isn't he? Yeah.
Forgiveness of sin.
Grace, not trying hard.
Okay, so it's about God's grace rather than us earning. Yeah.
Rescued.
Needs to be rescued. I mean, these are different ways, aren't they, of talking about it. About how our story happened. Yeah. Relationship with God, yeah? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So showing there's a change. Pre-Christ, since Christ. Yeah. They're all helpful, thank you. And of course, you might want to think through over coffee later. How you share your testimony will depend a bit on who you're talking to. One of you noticed in the Gospels, Jesus told lots of stories because they're powerful. You know, if you say to your neighbour, you know, there's obviously a context maybe to this conversation, but if you say, you know, you really need Christ's forgiveness, well, depending on the context, they may or may not listen to that. But if you talk to them about how you felt your need of Christ's forgiveness, that's very persuasive to then try and apply that to them. So, and think of it, your story is not something people can argue with. So if I say, you need Christ's forgiveness, but that person can say, well, really? You know, tell me why. If you say, well, I came to see, I needed Christ's forgiveness. Now, they might not agree with the concept, but they can't disagree with your experience. That's a persuasive, it's a powerful thing. And typically, of course, when we have a chance to share our testimony, our story, it happens in the context of friendship. So it happens in the context of us taking an interest in their story and just general life, being interested in them. We can't expect people to be interested in our story if we've not shown some kind of interest in their story. And I think when people see evidence of a changed life, that is a very powerful thing, isn't it? Think of your own story. My guess is there are people there in your story you saw the difference Christ made to you, and that was persuasive for you. And so we can be encouraged by that and seek to live for Christ in that. Let's go to Acts 26, because I want to look at a model for sharing our testimony, our story. And it's based on the Apostle Paul, who, of course, had a very dramatic story. And there were basically three parts to his story. BC, before Christ, C, conversion, AD, after Christ. So in verses 4 to 11 of Acts 26, Paul is before King Agrippa, and he says, the Jewish people all know the way that I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they're willing, that I conform to the strict sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors I'm on trial today. And what he's doing there, as it goes on, he's talking about how he was pre-Christ. He says, and they can testify, this is what I was like. Verse 9, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And he goes on to talk about how he was zealous in persecuting. There is pre-conversion. But then in verses 12 to 18, he talks about his conversion. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the gates." And the narrative goes on. I'm going to skip it because we're running out of time. But can you see just the detail of specifically what happened to him? What made the change? How did he meet Christ? And then, so that's his conversion. Then AD, after Christ, verses 19 to 23. And it's really summed up by the first phrase. "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." And he goes on to talk about how he preached for people to turn to God. But summed up by that phrase, he was not disobedient to Christ. He obeyed Christ. That captures what he was like as a Christian, AD. And then very interestingly, what he does in verse 27 is he applies his story. Have a look at verse 27. "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do." So there comes a point in the conversation where he takes his story and he says to Agrippa, "What about you? Where are you coming from?" And there's a principle that I want us to try and take away. Talk about pre-Christian, how we became Christians, what it's like since, and how do we apply that to the person we're talking to? How do we make it personal? And it's a good way to, if you like, finish your testimony, your story. And in that, we want to think through, so what do we include in our testimony? What do we leave out? What will convey the message best? Do I quote from the Bible? Probably depending on who you're speaking to, where they're at. What struggles do I share? What benefits of being a Christian do I talk about? All those are relevant things, I think. Most importantly in all this, we're trying to say, not look at how wonderful I am, I've changed, but look at how Jesus is, how wonderful he is, he has changed me. That's the focus of it, surely. How do you tell your story? I think one of the things that I encourage you to do, if you've never done this before, is write out your story and share it with somebody else, another Christian, perhaps who's gone through these notes, who knows where you're trying to come from on this, and get some feedback. That gives confidence, I think, in sharing your story. I think the other thing to say is if, like Paul, you've got quite a gory story, just be careful with the details of your gore. Because you don't want it to be all about just how bad you were. To be about how wonderful Jesus is and what he's done. Just be aware of that dynamic. So if you just turn over. These three things. My life before Christ, BC. It could be that you talk about particular problems you had, particular attitudes there were. What caused you to begin considering who Christ was? How did you realize your need of Christ? And then conversion, how did you come into a personal relationship? And this is about being specific. It's not just saying, well, I accepted Christ. That doesn't mean much to an unchurched person. What does that mean to accept Christ? What did you come to believe about him, about your need, about how he met that need, why he was relevant? What does he mean to you? And I think I want to say this. By the end of telling your story, your story should have communicated what the gospel is. And if we don't mention our sin problem at all, we've not actually described the gospel. If we've not mentioned what Christ did at the cross at all, and how you realize that was for you, we've not actually explained the gospel. So think through, am I explaining the gospel in my story? There's a little chart there. That might help on this. Your life BC, meeting Jesus, in your life AD. And that just comes under thinking, behavior, and passions. What were they like before? How your story of meeting Christ, and how have they changed since? And that can be quite a helpful framework to think of. What difference does Jesus make today? And if your story like mine is, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, You know, humanly speaking, it's not the most dramatic story. It is a miracle. But talking about what Jesus means to me now, that can be quite powerful, I think, since becoming a Christian. And then some possible response questions, as Paul did. You know, a simple, easy bolt-on one is, can you relate to any of my stories? Does any of this connect in any way? Or it might be a question you can think of that you know would be particularly pertinent to the person from your story. It's worth thinking through. I want us to get in groups for a moment and just think this through further, but just a few storytelling tips. Grab attention. Think of how you start your story. So here's two ways to start my story. I was brought up in a Christian home and went to church every Sunday. I could say that. It's fine. Or I could say, if getting into heaven was based on how much you went to church, I'm the first in the queue. Because I was brought up in a Christian home, went to church every Sunday. That just grabs attention a bit more, I think. And what it does is it immediately begins to, in the way I'm telling my story, undermine an assumption people have about what Christians are. So think through how you start your story. How do you grab attention so people are hooked in? Keep it brief. 2 to 5 minutes is normally about right. It just depends on the context, doesn't it? But have a look right at the bottom at home. Using what you've learned from this section, write out your testimony to share in 2 minutes, that's about 260 words, and in 5 minutes, about 650 words. Oh, that's a good exercise to do. There's no marking of that, by the way, next week. If you want to do it, find that helpful, go and do it. It's a good thing to try and do, though. And then practice on a Christian friend who's been through, had a look at this, to get some feedback and work on it. Be honest, don't give the impression that Christianity is a bed of roses. It's the worst thing you can do. To make it sound like you become a Christian and everything sorts out in your life. You know that's not true. And if they become a Christian, they're going to soon find out it's true and they're going to go, you told me lies. Yeah, Christian life's hard as well as wonderful. So don't make it sound like everything's hunky-dory as a Christian, but it's wonderful, it's best. Keep it simple. Avoid Christianese. Christianese is a language spoken by evangelicals that the world does not understand. So when I say things like, I felt it was God's will, or my walk with God. Walk with God? What does that mean? Where do you walk with God? Can I come? When's the walk starting? I responded to the altar call. Whoa, what altar call? Altar's call? I mean, you know what that means. I know what it means. They don't know what it means. You're the Lamb of God shed his blood for our sin. That is a precious statement. But it needs unpacking, doesn't it? But don't use it and assume people will know. So I'm not saying don't use biblical language, but you've got to explain it. There are others. I've got a file somewhere called Christianese. It's me being... needing to get out more. Anyway, give enough detail to arouse interest. Be sensitive with any gory details. Glory in Christ, not in yourself. Talk in a way that questions common misunderstandings about the Christian faith. I mentioned that already a bit, but here's another example. I thought that Christianity was for those who were good. I came to see it was for those who were bad. So just think, in the way that you tell your story, be gently provocative. Say things that you know will undermine the assumptions of most people in our culture. Be yourself. It's so important. And remember, you're describing a miracle, irrespective of how dramatic it might sound. You are. You're describing a miracle. So treat it like that. Ask God for wisdom and guidance and trust the Holy Spirit to use your story to work in people's lives. Well, that is enough for me on this. Any questions? And then I think it would be useful to get into groups and just, I suppose, try and apply this a bit further and have a crack at doing it. Any questions? Or things that you found helpful, things I've not mentioned that should be said? This is a document I've been working on for a while and adding to. Yeah, Jane.
Yeah, I think I agree. And I think it's...
It's even helpful to spell out, look, this isn't about me being religious, it's about me having a, to Sam's point, about having a relationship with God. There's a big difference. I think you can do it two ways, actually. You can either say, well, I'm not so much religious as though more I've got a relationship with God. I think you can do it that way. I think the flip way you can actually do it as well is to say, do you know what? Everyone's religious. And then define what we mean by that. Everyone needs something to worship. I worship Jesus. You worship something. What's the main thing in your life? So you can go down that route as well, I think, quite helpfully. As long as we define what we mean by the word religion, religious. We have that sense of otherness that we need, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, the next poor unsuspecting soul that says, where do you live? Well, I think you're straight into your testimony, and they can't get a word in edgeways for the next 5 minutes. Yeah, no, it's interruptible, isn't it? I still think it's worth writing it out so that you're clear on it. But that's a really helpful point. It's very rare, unless you're told to stand at the front of church or somewhere and say something, that you can just come out with the whole of your testimony in one go. Okay. Well, now there's an interesting exercise, okay? So how would you tell your story in a sentence? One sentence or two? Pardon?
A lot of commas,
yeah. Is it Ephesians 1 verses 1 to 14 is one sentence, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And just any other contributions? Rachel. I thought you were going to say, I once thought you were all nutcases, and now I realise you are. Yeah. Okay. Johnny?
One more.
Yep.
Don't be too complicated.
Thank you, yeah. Keep it simple. Yeah, keep it simple. Why don't we... we're running out of time here. We've got 5 minutes. Practice telling your story. Why not? It might be really helpful to think through what is, for your particular story, what is a good opening sentence to grab attention? I would go for either that in your group, or how could you tell your story in one or two sentences? We're not going to have time to do BCC and AD and response questions. So why don't we go for what's a good opening attention grabber for your story that relates to the detail of your story, or how could you tell your story in one or two sentences? How could you distill it down? Is that clear? Okay, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes. Let's do that. Well, we're going to stop there, guys. Do carry those conversations on. I hope that was helpful. Take the sheet away. And if you find it, you think it'd be helpful, have a crack at that exercise of writing out your story in 2 minutes and for 5 minutes and run it past someone. So it's clear in your mind, and you've sharpened how you're doing that. It is time for tea and coffee now. Enjoy. And if you have either contributions for the cellar or amazing contributions here for veggie characters, do bring them forward. Great. Let's go and have coffee.